When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app, on Apple Podcasts, on Android, Spotify, or the 5 Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. Communicate with us, other Heat fans. Get off of Twitter, X. Just talk about what you want to talk about. And also, you can suggest episodes for the entire month of August. This is one of those episodes. We'll get to it in a second. Again, the link is right here in the description for Off the Floor. Also, check out the great sponsors of the 5 Reasons Sports Network. Includes Better Edge. That's with an O in it, betteredge.com. Use the code 5. That's the number 5. RSN, what makes this different from the other sports books that are legal? There's no VIG. So that means you're not just giving the book money for nothing. Also, it's a social betting marketplace, which means that you can search around, shop for the line that you want. Check it out, betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN and you get $20 immediately to play. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the 5 Reasons Sports Network.
Hi, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and 5 Reasons Sports. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. Check out all of our recent episodes. Starting next week, we keep delaying this, but that's because we keep getting suggestions from Off the Floor, so we like this. Hopefully, we can take it all the way up into training camp. We're going to start our countdown from basically 1 down to 40, the 40 top players in Miami Heat history on just what they did while with the Heat. So we'll have some arguments that are started there. We'll do a handful of episodes related to that. But today we're just going to have some fun because, we look back to about a year ago at this time and everybody was just in freak out mode about whether or not the Heat were actually going to be able to get Dame Lillard. And basically what happened, we did about 58 episodes on this, but essentially what happened was, as we know, they were dealing with a general manager who would not communicate with them. I mean, just really that simple. Like, nobody that they had ever really dealt with before. You have people in the Heat front office who've been doing this for decades. They were completely confused about this method of doing business where the other side has a player and you would think they would want to maximize value for the player, but they won't communicate with one team in particular because they're irritated, angry at the agent and kind of saying that he would only go to one team. And then, of course, what ended up happening was Dame and the agent Aaron Goodwin relented and essentially added some teams to the mix, and that's how he ended up in Milwaukee. And so now I think there's been enough time, Alex, as we look back, and last the trade actually happened, and I remember where I was. I was actually in a Whole Foods, of all things, without my computer, going to pick up my daughter from there, and the trade broke. And like it happened, and we were like, wait, what? Milwaukee? Like, where did that come from? Even though we had suggested it as a dark horse team in a couple of episodes that we did, I don't think any of us expected it to actually happen. And that was on September 27th, 2023. And then things got worse in terms of the way we perceived them and actually in the way that things worked out, because this team ended up winning a championship. Because then Joe Cronin, what was it, 4 days after trading Dame and getting Jrue Holiday, among other pieces, we're going to talk about this, he then traded Jrue Holiday to the Heat's primary rival. the Boston Celtics, which ended up winning the championship. And I said at the time that was actually the worst day. And that was the one I think that hit us the hardest, because we're like, okay, the Heat may be playing for nothing this season because Drew is a perfect fit in Boston. So we're not quite at the anniversary yet, but it's close enough. We're like 10 and a half months from that period of time where we can start to evaluate this. And I just want to say, Alex, Joe Cronin may be the worst general manager of all time. I mean, none of this has aged well. Like Woj's, you know, his love letter, the Moleskine notebook, don't settle, take out the emotion and all this. Like, has Woj issued an apology for any of that? I'm wondering, like, or at least like a mea culpa, like, you know, I rode the wrong horse here. Like, this general manager that I was basically championing because he was giving me information, which is the way that Woj does things. Like, he actually sucks and he probably shouldn't have his job. Like, where is the objectivity on this? Because, like, for all the criticism of the Heat and what they haven't done, like, what Joe Cronin actually did, I can't believe the guy's not fired yet. So, I mean, Alex, we're gonna do the big picture on this, but we're gonna dive into it. But just give me the big picture. Did Joe Cronin make a series of good trades?
Personally, I'm not a big fan of what he did. You know, I'm trying to be as objective as possible. I don't think he got, like, I think we all expected them to be able to get more in return for somebody of Damian Lillard's caliber, and I don't think they got enough. Like, I think they got below what I expected when they traded Dame, and they got a little bit more than I expected when they traded Drew, right? Like, I think that's just kind of like based on the expectations. But when you look at it overall, like, I just don't think a lot of the pieces they've gotten in return are that impressive. Like, especially when you look at like Brogdon and Robert Williams, who are guys who, you know, can play, you know, are good players when they play, but, you know, their availability is in question all the time, right? Like, every season. And so, like, I just think between that and the draft capital, I think it's just kind of underwhelming when you look at everything that they did, because they got a big piece in Drew, you know, in return. But when you look at a team like that, right, who you're trading your franchise player and you're just kind of pivoting to a full rebuild, you know, I think you'd expect more draft capital, more young players. They got a couple of decent veterans who, like I said, have availability issues and didn't really flip them at the deadline. So I just thought, like, when you look at that, right, the big picture of those trades, I thought, like, if I'm a Blazers fan, I'd be a little bit underwhelmed with, you know, those returns.
Let me go through it. I'm gonna read this to you from sort of beginning to end on how this happened, because of course there were pieces that were acquired and then traded for other pieces, and I just want to get to the end of this and ask the question: even if he was never officially offered, are any of these pieces better than even Jaime Jaquez? I really think that. And again, I have friends in the media who will defend Cronin to this day, like Matt Moore, HP Basketball, others. Of course, the Boston media, you know, they just care about, at this point, having gotten Drew and winning a championship. But, I mean, there were some, like Kevin O'Connor, who said that the Heat's possible offer was, like, the worst in history. And I'm just wondering, like, it was twice as good as what Cronin ended up getting. Here was the actual trade. As part of a three-team trade, September 27, 2023, the Blazers traded Keon Johnson, Nasir Little, and Yusuf Nurkic to the Suns. Nurkic, by the way, had an okay season for Phoenix. The Blazers traded Dame Lillard to the Bucks. The Bucks traded Grayson Allen to the Suns. If you look back at this trade, it might have been the Suns who made out the best. The Bucks traded Drew Holiday, a 2028 first-round pick, a 2029 first-round pick, a 2030 first-round pick to the Blazers, and the Suns traded DeAndre Ayton, Tamani Kamara to the Blazers. Kamara ended up playing a role there, kind of a 3-and-D player, more D than 3. We'll talk about him more as we go forward. And a 2029 first-round pick and a swap. This is some confusion there. I don't want to bore people with all that. But anyway, a bunch of picks. And then Drew, 4 days later, so take Drew out of the mix here, was traded for Malcolm Brogdon, Robert Williams, who was immediately hurt. Not that that should have been a surprise. A 2024 first-round pick, Bob Carrington, was later selected. And a 2029 first-round pick, and then also got a trade exception. Okay, so the first part of this that we need to acknowledge is They would have gotten Ayton even if they made a trade with the Heat. Like, that was happening anyway. Okay. Phoenix ended up getting Grayson Allen instead of a possible player from the Heat who could have been, say, Caleb Martin, maybe something along those lines. They ended up getting Grayson Allen because Milwaukee was involved in the trade. Grayson Allen had a good enough season that they just re-signed him, right? Okay. Phoenix did well getting involved in this trade, right? I mean, and here's how we know they did well. There are reports that Portland already has Ayton on the block, which anybody could have told you, right?
And they just drafted Donovan Klingon, who's going to be like their big man of the future.
Right. So they gave up on Ayton in 1 year, which, again...
1 year after the dominating...
Right. Oh, no, we had... You go back to some of the Portland media there in the first couple of weeks, like, Ayton's going to wake up here. He's going to suddenly get motivated. He's going to have a motor. I mean, I don't know why anybody thought that. Like, that we never saw it in Phoenix. I know, but, like, we never saw it in Phoenix. I mean, it's just... Like, he's talented, but you're never going to get sustained effort from him. And particularly in that kind of a program where he's not playing for anything, that's where, and again, the head coach is under fire and Billups and all the rest of it. Okay. So you get Ayton, they're going to look to move him, and they apparently he has got no value right now. So, like, they're not going to get anything there. All right. Robert Williams, they're looking to move him. What value does Robert Williams have? The Celtics ruined his career. He came back, he shaved the meniscus and came back, right? I think it ended up being the other knee that he hurt this time around, but again, there's compensation injuries and all that kind of stuff. Are they going to get anything of value for Robert Williams?
Not in the immediate short term. I don't think so. I think teams would have to actually, you know, see him play for a little bit to kind of determine and evaluate, you know, where he's at, how much is worth trading for him. Not to mention, I think he's on a contract there. Like, you got to factor in all those things there. And I don't think that's somebody who's just easily flippable, at least not right now. Like, he could rebuild some of that value, have a nice season for them. But at this point, it's more theory than anything.
Okay. And then there's Brogdon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was immediately hurt. Another non-surprise, based on his history. So again, I'm looking at what the value is. Now, we can look at some of these first round picks, which haven't conveyed yet, right? Because a lot of them were future picks. But I'm trying to find the building block player here. Like, what did they get? Like, when you make a trade of a major okay, you get a building block of some kind. Okay. And I know people are gonna come back at me and say, well, is Tyler Hero a building block? He's more of a hero building block than DeAndre Ayton is right now. I mean, what is the building block? Jaime Jaquez would have been more of a building block player than Ayton.
Who's the building block?
Building around. Like,
the only player that I feel like qualifies and is not anywhere near a centerpiece is Kamara, or Tumani Kamara, who's like, you know, like you mentioned, who seems like he's going to be a good role player in the league, a little bit older, 24 years old. And that's why I get confused, because, and you mentioned the draft picks there too, right? When you're going over the picks, the thing with that is, right, you mentioned how they got three picks in return for Dame. Two of those are swaps. So they're not even full picks, right? I think that's why I was a little bit underwhelmed by that return originally. And then you look at what they got for Drew, right? They got a couple firsts for Drew. One of those ended up being Bub Carrington, who is somebody who I like going into this draft. They traded him before he was selected as part of the trade for Denny Avdija. And I like Avdija. I think he's really grown into a nice player. He's actually still like very young. He's like, I think he's 23 years old still. So he's younger than Kamara. And they also traded for Delano Banton for the trade deadline this year. And, you know, he was okay for them in the second half of the season, was kind of productive. And he's like 24 years old. So those moves are not like without reason, but they traded picks for those moves. Like they traded a first, 2 seconds, and the pick that ended up becoming Bub Carrington. I think he went like 14 or 15, if I remember correctly. I'm not looking at that right now. But so they traded a first, Bub Carrington, and 2 seconds for Denny Avdija, right? One of those firsts, like I said, was part of
Again, I just want to jump in for a second. Who is a nice developing player. We should give some credit there, but it's a lot. I mean, like, last year in Washington, you could say this is some Looter and a Riot type stuff here because the Wizards were awful. But this is the former ninth pick in the draft. For last year, he played 75 games. He averaged basically 15.7 rebounds and 4 assists on 51, 37, 74 splits. Like, there's,
and he plays like good defense. I think he's good right now.
Yeah, I think he's good. I honestly, he's the kind of player that the Heat would like. Like, here's the thing about a guy like Kamara, or Kamara, however you want to pronounce it, okay? Is that, like, that's the kind of player that, like, the Heat pull out of every summer league. And I've got Blazer fans on there talking about what a great return he was, and I'm thinking, like, the Heat literally just signed Keshawn Johnson, who's probably going to be just as good. Like, see, this is the thing. But, like, when you're in a bad organization, you end up having to overpay for players that good organizations just mine on their own. And I'll keep coming back to it. Like, okay, so then beyond, I want to branch out to more of sort of the NBA trades in general. But, like, the thing about this is, like, what is their building block going forward? It's Scoot, I guess. I mean, he had kind of an up and down regular rookie season that got a little better as they went. Shaedon Sharpe, Simons maybe on the block. Which is the reason that they gave for not wanting Hero, because they had too many guards. But I'm just coming back to this. Like, I kept hearing from the national media, and particularly led by Woj, who obviously was in Cronin's pocket, like, that they had gotten this great return because he held out. And literally, if the Heat had sent him Jaime Jaquez and a first round pick and filler, it would have been better than what he ended up getting.
I think when you just look at player-wise, yeah, it would have been better just because Hawkins looks like a great – I mean, he's already a very good player now. And I think as somebody, you know, it was talked about, whoever wrote that he's one of the best, like, trade assets in the league or whatever, right? Like, I understand, but I think it's really about the draft capital, right? Because that's what you get in return now when you trade a centerpiece, right? You're not getting – most of the times you're not getting, like, a blue-chip prospect, and that wasn't – out there for them. So I think the Heat, if they would have offered, you know, let's say two firsts and Hawkins, like, I think that's very comparable to what they ended up getting in return, because you have to factor in, like, Brogdon and Robert Williams and how flippable they are, or more specifically aren't, right? Because it depends on the availability there. Like I said before, like, I think both of those guys when they're playing are pretty good players, but it's just like it's just not the type of return you would want when you put it all together, especially, like I mentioned, they traded one of their first round picks who they could have used this year and got, you know, Carrington, who is a guard, right? You just talked about how their guard situation is very weird because, like, Scoot, you know, the jury's still out on him. I'm not saying he's done, right? I think he's going to have a good career, but you don't know that for sure. Simons looks like he might be out of there, could be traded to a good team at some point this season. You know, I think having another guard there who you can develop, I think would have been nice for them. Like, I don't know why they're in the business of trading two first round picks for Avdija. Again, Avdija is a good player. Like, I kind of understand the trade. He's still young, but you traded two firsts essentially and 2 seconds for him. Not to mention like the Banton thing, Delano Banton, you traded a couple seconds for him as well. Those aren't the type of moves that I feel like rebuilding teams like this who are just playing bad, right? The Blazers are one of the worst teams in the league at this point. Like, it feels weird for them to make. Again, they're still, those are younger players. It's not like they're trading for older vets there, but they got older vets for their franchise centerpiece. They got older vets and not enough picks. They got a couple swaps and one first for their franchise centerpiece.
Well, and like I said, they got players who had injury histories that if the injuries cropped up again in any way, were going to be difficult to move. All right, on the other side of this, I want to ask a very simple question, okay, and then we'll close this thing out. We'll just focus on the Cronin piece of this. Did Joe Cronin do the Heat a favor? Before we do, though, I'm going to introduce a sponsor here we've had on here before. You can find him on the Dono Show or the Five Guys Show that I do with Alex Dono twice a week, typically every Tuesday and Thursday on All South Florida Sports on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Our friends over at jerseys305.com.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for the Five Reasons Sports Network. We've got a great new sponsor that fits with us perfectly. It's called jerseys305.com. That's jerseys305.com. This is your home for dead stock and vintage jerseys from the Heat, Panthers, Dolphins, Marlins, and the other local teams. Their mission was born from a passion for wearing jerseys of the old styles and the past players. Jerseys 305 aims to make every fan stand out from the crowd with unique pieces that you don't commonly see anymore. Maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, but not today. And Jerseys 305 was created by the fans, for the fans. They're diehards just like you. In fact, They're probably listening to this episode right now. So check them out. Jerseys 305, their partnership with Five Reason Sports, celebrating with a 10% discount on the next purchase using the code 5 at checkout. Unlock your exclusive savings on the entire vintage collection. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FiveFloor, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, so here we are. It's almost a year later from the trade. Heat fans were shell-shocked. Dame goes to Milwaukee. Shit, conference is over with. Bucks are going to win the East. Didn't happen. Giannis ended up getting hurt at the wrong time. Dame got hurt during certain times. Chemistry was kind of off. Rest of the team got old. They ended up going through a couple of different coaches. Now they're stuck with Doc Rivers going forward. We'll see how that looks. And they haven't really markedly improved this offseason. I mean, they signed DeLon Wright away from the Heat. But they haven't done much else.
They got Gary Trent.
The 4 years ago, that would have been okay on the Torian Prince part. The real trigger was Drew ending up in Boston. Okay. And I don't know if the Celtics win a championship or don't, but the Marcus Smart absence would have hurt them a lot more if they didn't replace him with a better Marcus Smart, and then they got Porzingis for Smart, and then again they ran away with the East and they won the championship and everybody was hurt, and that certainly helped, but whatever, they won a title, you can't take it away. But from the Heat's perspective, with what the Heat would have had to probably give up if they'd been dealing with an honest broker on the other side, okay, which would not have been what the offer was initially reported at, is say Hero and a couple first round picks and some filler, but you probably would have needed to do more to get it over the finish line. Either Hawkes or maybe Caleb, who again, they ended up losing for nothing. We know what happened this offseason. Did Cronin, with what you saw of Dame last year, did Cronin do the Heat a favor or no?
I want to say yes so bad. I just can't get myself to say it. I can't say it. Even with how we saw, you know, these guys turn out, like Jaime completely blew expectations out of the water, right? Like it just amazing. Awesome rookie season. Jovic, great developmental season. Finally, you know, became a staple of the rotation. And then later on, a staple of the starting lineup. Awesome season for those two. Even with that, I still find it hard to say yes, right? Because I think Damian Lillard is that good. And even though he kind of had a little bit of a down season for his standards, I still think he is that good and would have been insanely helpful for this team. Like, you know, and of course we talked about it for 50 episodes last summer, so you don't have to get too deep into it, but I just think like everything he would have brought, his skill set would have been, you know, pretty amazing for the Heat. and would have been a very, very all-in move. And I think when you compare to, you know, like what the Blazers got in return draft capital wise, like if it would have been the Heat giving out a similar amount of draft capital, let's say, I don't know, like I guess we have to play around with a hypothetical for this question. Let's say it's Jaime salary filler, which we know probably would be Tyler involved in there.
Probably Duncan too.
And yeah, and Duncan, along with, you know, a pick or two, or maybe it's a pick and Jovic, something like that. It's a lot. It's a lot. So you could make the case that they did him, that he did the Heat a favor in the sense of, like, you know, kind of keeping your, you know, your draft capital and these really valuable young guys together. And because now they have more value, right? Like easily have more value than what they did last summer. So even with all of that, you know, it would have been really, really nice to have him here, but it also would have been a very, very short-term move. Like that was the all-in move. That was the Jimmy window move. And even though he had the relationship with Bam, would have been very nice alongside Bam, you know, would have been here for the next few years. It's still an all-in move. So I could, you could make the case and I might be, you know, swayed, but I can't even, I can't get to that point. I just think that would have, that could have been a, you know, a championship piece. So it's hard for me to say, you know, he did them a favor. It felt very petty.
Well, Drew wouldn't have been in Boston to start with, right? So yeah, when you say championship piece, it's kind of getting out of the East, and so he wouldn't have been where he was. The other part of this though is that you mentioned there are all these other sort of butterfly effect things that would have happened. If it's an all in move, maybe Jimmy plays more last season, gives more effort, right? And then the Heat are more inclined to give him that extension this offseason. You know, because like if you're going in with Dame, then it's like, okay, you're going in with an older roster and Jimmy, they're probably more in line to give Jimmy the extension. Whereas now it feels like they're kind of, they hedged in part because it's like, okay, if this group is not good enough with just Jimmy and Bam leading it, then we're going to need to pivot around Bam and some of the young guys we still kept. So that's part of it. And the other thing I think that you mentioned that's interesting is typically first round picks are like cars. Okay. As soon as you drive them off the lot, they're not worth as much. But it's not true with Hawkins. Like that pick, he ended up exceeding the value. Okay. And even though he's an aged player for a second year guy, he's a little, a couple years older than a lot of these guys are. That pick is, he's worth, he has a top 10 value as a pick now because people saw what he could do at a high level. Okay. In high leverage situations. So I do think that part of it is interesting. Like I don't, like Jaime Hawkins would not be even someone we would consider throwing on the board right now for, I think, for what we saw of Dame last year, because you're right, the numbers dropped and the Heat had concerns. It wasn't just about dealing with Cronin. It was also the defense, the age, and those kind of things. And that kind of showed last year a little bit with some of the injuries and all that. I'm not saying Dame's not great. I'm not trying to poo-poo this whole thing and say they shouldn't have made a move. I know Greg feels very strongly that that was the move to make. And if the Heat had a chance to make it, they had to make it. And I get that. But I do think, looking back at this a little bit, to me, the part that stings is not Dame to Milwaukee. The part that stung was Drew to Boston. And we'll never know now. We'll never know if they would have won a championship without it. We do know that the Heat have retained all these assets and still can do something, except the one first-round pick, which is now Rozier. And I think we will look at this thing in a certain way if Terry – and I saw Terry tweeted at Brady today about, you know, when Brady did a film review, and I guess Terry's planning on making some more tough shots next year. If Terry gets healthy and contributes something significantly, or they can get value for him on the roster or in a trade, we'll look at this more positively, I think. But the way that it ended the season with Terry, with him not being healthy and us not being able to see it, I understand why there's still kind of a sour taste in his mouth. Anyway, something to look at. I think what we agree on is Joe Cronin sucks. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated.
CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.